We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back in the Kia Studios of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app's how you catch us on the go. Social media at 929 The Game, at JMSH316, at the D. Lewis for real. We will do Rankum coming up here at 10:40. Just a quick aside, Day-Day. You know, they're celebrating the 1,000-day anniversary, which I think is, you know, I think they just crossed the 1,000 days of Roman
right.
being the champ.
Right.
I think that's the fifth longest in WWE history.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hogan had the belt for 4 years. He had the belt from 83. Was it 83 to 87 or 84 to 87? It was either 3 or 4 years. But Bruno, obviously, I think, had it the longest of any WWE champion. But it's just kind of funny. They're honoring Roman in the 1,000 days and stuff like that. So I think they still should have taken the belt off of Roman at WrestleMania with Cody. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. This year, I look at the all things Atlanta Falcons. It is the Falcons flyover. According to reports, Kyle Pitts looks like he's on track to be ready for opening day in the NFL season. Arthur Smith said today that he anticipates, quote unquote, everybody being ready for the season opener against Carolina. Everybody would include tight end Kyle Pitts, who's recovering from surgery to repair his right MCL. Quote from Arthur Smith, "We fully anticipate everybody being ready to go on September 10th. So we'll be smart." Okay. I mean, that they always say that. Had knee surgery after suffering an injury in Atlanta's win over the Bears on November 20th. When Pitts was injured in November, Smith indicated he wasn't sure if Pitts would be ready for off-season workouts, but it was nothing that concerns us for real games in the season. So it looks like he's going to be ready to roll on September 10th. Quote, "We're trying to be smart. We know we're playing in 2021 games. So when we do that, you need to be ready to go, peaking, ready to roll September 10th and play our best football at the end of the year." So that goes into mind. So, again, let's hope that he is, ready to go. I really don't want to – I mean, look, preseason is what it is. There's nothing about the preseason that Kyle Pitts has to get ready for. Just let me have him September 10th. I don't care if we don't use him as much in week one because, you know, we've got so many other weapons and we're trying to just work him back in. I'm fine with all of that. But, you know, again – it's good to see that he's going to be ready for the opener, no matter what his role is going to be. I don't know how many snaps he's going to have when all is said and done, but it's certainly a good thing to just see him, you know, on some sort of timetable to be ready for all of this. So all good stuff there from Kyle Pitts and Arthur Smith. And, you know, it's good to believe that he thinks that everybody is going to be healthy and ready to go. Falcons did have open practice today. Was kind of reading some of the highlights and different things like that about it. And look, I mean, these are glorified exhibitions, right, as far as what the Falcons are doing here at this kind of a practice. So Michael Rothstein had some notes about some of the practice and things like that. You can go to his Twitter page. At Michael Rothstein, right? It's at Mike Rothstein. You can go there and check out all of his notes and things like that for what went on. But you know, again, good chance for folks to see, you know, be there at practice, see the players, see their first look at this, you know, new look team. Obviously, lots of new faces on this team. You know, guys that are, you know, going to be staples for this organization. Hopefully, for some for years to come, right? I mean, Jesse Bates will be here for the long term, but, you know, there are a lot of guys that are still on one-year contracts and things like that. So, you know, hopefully we get to see some faces that, you know, will be here for the you know, long term. Ryan Nielsen did say that he likes the idea of having some of these veterans on his defensive line, like Calais Campbell. And obviously, look, Calais, I think it's going to be – I don't think that he's going to play the 60% of snaps that D-Led thinks he's going to play. I don't think that that's – I don't think it's a realistic number. If you're going to have him for 17 weeks and have him ready for the end of the season, he's not going to play 60% of the snaps because he can't do that over 17 games. He'll get hurt at some point, and he'll be out for a few weeks. So if you're going to keep him fresh, I think that number is realistically more between 40 and 50%. Now, he may surprise everybody, and he may have, you know, a resurgence, right? He may have some kind of resurgence where all of a sudden he finds the Fountain of Youth in Atlanta. I think I found the Fountain of Youth a few times in Atlanta, but anyway. But he has a resurgence, and he becomes, you know, the player that, you know, sort of the player that he's been in the past. I don't want to say that he's... You know, look, he's been a, runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year, but if he can give us the same production in, say 45-50% of the snaps on defense, I'll take that all day long. I think part of this is obviously him mentoring a lot of these young guys. And there are some young guys that need some mentoring, need some leadership. You know, again, we need to see some of these guys break out. Now, we're going to talk at the top of the hour, the 9 o'clock hour, some more Falcons football with you because I'm going to get your thoughts about all of this. Because I've talked about the guy that I think needs to have that breakout season. I've talked about the guy that I think needs to get things cranked up and get things going and have that breakout year for the Falcons. So we'll see what happens with all of them. All right, we've been going through the Pro Football Focus list. We've had quarterbacks, wide receivers, offensive linemen, defensive linemen on the interior. Now we have the top 32 cornerbacks ahead of the NFL season. All right, Day-Day. So I'll ask you, A.J. Terrell is on the list. Now, excuse me, he's the only Falcon that makes the list. No real surprise there. I don't think that anybody else was realistically going to make the list of the top 32 corners in the league. Where do you think A.J. Terrell lands on the top 32 corners list in the NFL?
I'd say middle of the road. I'd say maybe 16, 17-ish.
So not too far off, but he's 12th.
Okay.
Here's the write-up for A.J. Terrell. Quote, Terrell is a great case study in the volatility of coverage and cornerback performance. His rookie season was solid before a breakout sophomore campaign saw him play like an all-pro with an 85.6 Pro Football Focus coverage grade. In 2022, his play dropped back a bit down to earth, and he allowed 9 touchdowns. Terrell definitely possesses the ability to be an elite corner, but needs to prove he can find that play again in 2023. Now, a couple of thoughts about this, okay? I am somebody that does not, let me repeat, I am somebody that does not believe that a good secondary helps your pass rush. I think a great pass rush helps your secondary. This is not 1978. It's not, again, let's go, Day-Day, let's go with the Oakland Raiders. Were they still in Oakland, or were they in El Segundo or Rancho Cucamonga in 1978?
Ooh, 78? Oh, I got to look that one up because...
Say Oakland.
Oh, they were in Oakland then? Yeah, okay, cool, were. Oakland. Yes.
So, again, they were 2 years off. They were, 2 years off the Super Bowl that they won, when they won the Super Bowl.
So they didn't go to, what was that, 80s when they went to L.A. the first time then?
Yes, 83. Okay. Yeah, that's the Marcus Allen years.
Yeah, okay.
So, this is not 19. Let's use the Oakland Raiders of 1978, right? Okay. You got Cliff Branch on one side of the offense. Well, let's go 77 if you want. Cliff Branch on one side, Fred Biletnikoff on the other, and Ken Stabler at quarterback, right? And maybe you trot Dave Casper out in a pattern. Maybe Mark Van Egan goes out to catch a pass. But it's two wide receivers, tight end in the block, maybe a running back or tight end out in coverage. But at best, you're looking at three guys, okay? This is modern-day NFL football. This is four, five, six guys at a time running all around, all over the field, running everywhere, downfield, upfield, there, that way. It's not 1978 anymore. They don't just send two guys out in a pattern. You send everybody out in patterns now, four and five guys. So, again, no defensive backfield is going to be able to cover guys if you can't sack the quarterback. Nobody is. I don't care how good you think cornerbacks are. Nobody's going to. You don't have enough guys to cover everybody. So that's why I don't believe that a good secondary can help with a pass rush, because you have too many guys that go out in patterns nowadays. Too many guys that quarterbacks can find safety valves and releases, and the quarterbacks have all of the advantages, right? You have to know where to hit a quarterback. And guys get hesitant at times. So I don't believe that great secondaries help with your pass rush. You either have a fire breather or you don't. You either have a guy that comes off the edge and mauls a quarterback, or you don't have that guy. It's very simple. So I do think, though, that Terrell can get back to that kind of level. I think that A.J. Terrell can be that elite type of corner. Now, I know some people are going to say, well, he never was elite. Eh. His sophomore year was pretty darn good. And he may, if he has a bounce back season this year, I'm telling you, he's going to be a $20 million corner. By the way, do you know who, do you know the top one, two, maybe three corner? How about the top two, Day-Day? Any idea who the top two are?
What's my guy in Dallas? Is he in there? Gilmore?
He's six.
He's six.
Mm-hmm. Think second year guy.
So second year guy?
Think second year guy. Think former teammate of Desmond Ridder.
Oh, Ramsey.
No. He wouldn't have, but he's number two.
Ramsey's number two, or
Ramsey's number two.
So number one is you said teammate of Ridder. Oh, Sauce.
Yeah.
Sauce Gardner. Yeah.
How about that? He's the number. I mean, he's rated as the number one corner in the NFL.
I'm not surprised.
Second year. I mean, I'm not saying that he's not.
Yeah,
he's an outstanding player.
We're kind of in that secondary. We're kind of getting into the new crop.
I had said this repeatedly in the offseason, Day-Day, that I would have loved to have seen the Falcons make a trade for Jalen Ramsey. I would have loved to have seen them make a trade for Jalen Ramsey. And you'd have paired him up with A.J. Terrell.
Yeah.
Now we got something.
Yeah.
Now we start turning the football over at that point. But we're looking for that other guy that goes along with A.J. Terrell.
Yeah.
So I think A.J. Terrell has got all the ability in the world. I think he can be a top five corner again in the NFL. But I think that the way he gets helped is we got to get some guys that sack the quarterback. At some point, we got to get some guys that sack the quarterback. All right. Who we got coming up?
So, the guy, I know we don't get to do like we used to do. Where
yeah,
because
I mean, you work 3 hours on the show before, and, you know, again, it's, you know, it works out really well. We don't actually get to communicate, you know, before shows and stuff like that.
But so. The guys had Dukes and Bell. They actually were joined by Chris Lindstrom. Good conversation. I know he's one of your guys.
Again,
so.
He's my guy.
Yeah.
I think he's the best player on the Falcons. I think he's been the best player for 2 years running. And, again, I thought that was one of the better draft picks that the Falcons have had. I don't want to say since Julio or Matt Ryan, but it's certainly one of the best picks that they've had in probably a decade plus. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, back at it, Chuck Reese Show. Hanging out with you in the Kia Studios on this Friday evening. Don't forget, we got Rank 'Em coming up at 10:40, so we'll have a little bit of fun here before we close out for the weekend. So back with you next week as well. So nobody really playing in town, huh, Day-Day? I mean, Braves are on the West Coast, no Atlanta United at home. They're going out to L.A.?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Dream schedule is. I know they were home earlier in the week. Other than that, yeah, it's pretty
quiet as far as, you know, anybody around Atlanta, you know.
Good playing. Weekend to go hang out at the lake, go strawberry picking, something I'm going to be doing tomorrow.
Really?
Yeah. I'm really going because they make strawberry shortcake at the place we're going to. So.
Where is that? Where are you
It's
going
called Southern Bell Farms. It's down on the south side.
Okay.
So we went back in the fall. We've gone the past couple of falls for pumpkin, the pumpkin patch that they had. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea that they do strawberries.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, they have a market where they sell a lot of really good food and snacks. And
nice.
I posted something about it, and somebody was like, oh, you got to go back during strawberry season. They make homemade strawberry shortcake. And I love strawberry shortcake. And I was like, what? So I've been waiting for this,
nice.
For this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's, listen, I mean, even though it's like a family trip and the kids will get a good treat out of it, you know, listen, there's something in it for dad, right?
Exactly.
Something in
exactly.
it for dad. So that's all good.
Yeah,
so.
Man. So I'm going to starve myself tonight so I can pig out tomorrow.
Nice. All right. Well, listen, speaking of pigging out, Dukes and Bell, they had Chris Lindstrom on. And look, I think Lindstrom's the best player for the Falcons 2 years running. He's my favorite player. Hugh Douglas doesn't like him, by the way, Day-Day. You know, Hugh doesn't like him.
Yeah, I know you guys used to go back and forth on
yeah,
that.
Because he doesn't like him. I mean, you know, listen, I'm sorry, but, you know, he didn't
he was
like
probably him. Just salty because he probably knows that in his day he wouldn't have been able to do
oh,
anything
yeah, he
with
wouldn't,
that.
Yeah, yeah. He, I mean, if Lindstrom was a tackle, he wouldn't have gotten around Lindstrom. Yeah, no doubt about it. So, but anyway, Dukes and Bell asked him about how he's feeling knowing that his new deal shows that he's valued as one of the best guys in the NFL.
It's really amazing. I'm incredibly thankful and grateful to be a part of the Falcons, and really excited for the next 6 years coming up that I get to, you know, be here and spend the majority of my career and hopefully the entire thing here. It means a lot. You know, you get drafted, you know, you're a college kid and you don't really know what's going on and you're just playing, and then you get into an organization. And I think the longer I'm in the NFL, the more I can really appreciate the Falcons organization in the city of Atlanta and how much it really means to me and how great it is. It's that day-to-day atmosphere in the building that I wouldn't trade for anything around the league, and the fan support that we get here and coming here, and days like today are really amazing.
Mm. I joked with Chris earlier. I don't want to say, you know, we took you for granted, but we said this is going to be the no-brainer of the no-brainer picks. The pedigree of Boston College, something about the guys, they create guys, they come out of the box and they're ready to go Pro Bowl season this year for
they're
you.
Smart.
Yeah, they're, well, you got to be smart. Good PC.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you my class rank.
Is it something about the Jesuits beating this into you? What is it all about?
I mean, if you check my class rank, I mean, that might have a little bit different. I'm not the brightest bulb from Boston College, but just the guys that come out of there, honestly, there's great role models, and there's so many that have had great careers, and then to be able to meet those guys coming up, and it was really cool as a, you know, young kid to have those role models as a fan, being from Massachusetts, and then a lot of them would come by the program, so it's a really cool culture.
Well, speaking of culture, I think we have a cool culture that's starting, or maybe it's evolving here, and I want you to elaborate on this for us, because you told a story earlier today about how Bijan, when he got drafted, texted you guys. And I'm going, he didn't know any of you guys. Like, he's not here, but yet he felt compelled to text every offensive lineman to say, hey, can't wait to get to work with you guys. Right. Can't wait to get here. That's pretty special. What's going on here with this culture?
I think first there's belief in everything that we're doing, from Terry and Art to players to scheme to everything like that. And that's a huge aspect of it. Every single day there's belief in the scheme and in each other. And then when you bring in guys like that who, you know, it's just a small thing. He didn't have to do that. Obviously, it's a huge moment for him and his family. And, you know, you're incredibly, you know, happy for him and them. And you obviously tell them to take that time. But to send that, that was cool to start that relationship that way. And the way he's coming to work so far in OTAs has been awesome. And I think you guys saw it today, even though it's not the physical practices, and obviously that's going to change once we get to camp, there's really focus and intention in everything that we do. And I hope that's evident. I think that's definitely, as a player, it's stressed upon to us. And I think that's some of the things when you talk about culture, it's the small things like that coming into work every day, and the belief in what you're doing.
It is a Falcons Pro Bowl guard, Chris Lindstrom, with us here live. Duke Sabel at Mercedes-Benz. We mentioned with Dave Archer talking earlier, first thing Carl and I noticed when we saw you guys, first time we see some of the new faces, the size. Looks like running the football, you guys, is physicality, but this is like a really big, mean, nasty team, potentially.
For sure. You know, we joke as an interior offensive line with, you know, me, Dahlman, and Hennessy, we feel small out there a lot of the time. We look at the skill guys, especially when CP's there. It's like right. They're 6'4", you know, Drake and Kyle and Johnny.
Mac Hollins is huge.
All right. Those guys. But you're thankful to play with them. And it is funny, though, getting the play sometimes, looking across from you, you're eye to eye, or you're looking up at them.
And Calais Campbell literally looks like a mountain. Yeah, on legs.
Yeah, he's Calais is massive, and the player that he is at the age he is it's remarkable.
Yeah, let's talk about Desmond Ridder, because everybody wants to talk about Desmond Ridder, right? Chris Lindstrom joining us here on Dukes and Bell. He's smiling like, uh-oh, what are you guys going to ask me?
No, not loading up.
He's like, where are you going with this? Listen, we just want – here's what the deal with us. We as fans, we just didn't see enough of him to really see or feel like, hey, we're going to take the next step. But I feel like you guys did. I feel like behind the scenes you guys have. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us what's going on with him so that maybe Falcon fans can feel a little bit better. Because those four games that we saw, Chris, were just like, okay, we got a sense of it, but we don't know how good this is going to be.
Yeah, I think it goes back to belief in our culture. And there's 100% belief from everybody that's on offense that Dez is going to do amazing. And as an offensive lineman, communication is the biggest thing, right, as it affects me. And and stresses. I always, you know, focus on your own, like, individual world. And every single time that I rely on Dez, he's there for me and then some. And the way he communicates, the cadence in the huddle, the demeanor of which he does it, and then, you know, different things come up. Adversity comes up in the game. And, you know, they present a different look. He's got to change something on the line. You know, you can – some you know, you hear panic in somebody's voices, and that stresses you out, and then you get a false start. Right. And Dez's command and cadence with everything is really amazing as an offensive lineman. And then – I mean, he's working incredibly hard, and you just have belief in him. And, you know, that's the coolest part is not everybody's friends. Like, you're not friends with everybody, but, right. You know, you have really great relationships with everybody and belief in who they are. And Dez is really amazing.
Now, another guy that gets added to the roster, and again, we're projecting his fans, he'll get the job, he's got to earn the job, is Matthew Bergeron. He was a tackle playing guard, now going to play guard from Syracuse. He looks like a dude that's going to bring some nastiness to the equation.
Yeah, he's great. We always get some ACC jokes on him already, being a Syracuse guy. But, you know, he's quick to shoot back. He's awesome, and obviously he's incredibly talented, as big and strong as he is, and how well he moves, and his approach so far has been really cool, learning from guys, and then, you know, every single day coming in with a good mindset, because especially as a rookie, the season is really long. Like, you right. go your season, combine training, you know, OTAs, right. and but he's had a great mindset so far.
From a continuity or synergy standpoint, glad McGarry's back on mm-hmm. your right.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with, like, the NFL is, like, you're friends with somebody, but then the career aspect, you always want what's best for them. And so being able to have, you know, Caleb back as a friend and then as, like, the professional with him is amazing. And I'm super thankful for that, because you have 4 years of reps. And I was saying to somebody earlier today that, like, the cadence, like, if I – it's like the small things. If I say the same thing, but I put, is it a question, or am I, like, am I reassuring it to right. you? And, like – it's those small things that you're able to pick up and fit in, like, your combination fits. Really, you know, really thankful for Caleb.
What have you learned from Jake? Jake's like the old man now. And when he was drafted, it was similar to your situation. Like, it was a no-brainer. We need this. We're going to go draft Jake Matthews.
His dad's the best ever dressed out. No expectations.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We need this. We're going to go draft Chris Lindstrom, right? And it was very similar, just from an easy standpoint of seeing how this team was being built. But what has he shown you? What has he taught you? Because he is now the old guy on this offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you go in and Jake is like the ultimate professional. And the biggest thing, I think it was honestly stress for me from Jake and from Alex Mack. The biggest thing with offensive line play is consistency. So, like, you know, you have other positions in the NFL or on defense where you can make a couple splash plays a game and get paid a ton of money. And obviously they're great players, but offensive line play is all about consistency. And I think that's the way Jake is every single day. Mm-hmm. And Jake doesn't make waves. He doesn't get headlines. He doesn't get anything, because he shows up and is the same person every single day. Every drill, he works the same. Never looks for credit for himself, never promotes himself individually, and he's amazing. And then the role model, how he is in the, you know, in the offensive line room, one of the best things, honestly. He gets all these one-liners from the, you know, 90s from his dad, and so he'll come back in and he'll say them, and we're just like,
what are you talking about?
If we, like something funny, like in training camp, especially as a rookie, like, you know, you're you have a ton of anxiety going into your first game. He's like, hey man, it's easy, just do good, not bad. You're like, hey,
don't
thanks,
suck.
Jake. Yeah, appreciate it, Jake. Thanks. But there's so many small things like that you know, you really get appreciation for Jake. But you know, he's amazing to play left tackle, the hardest position. Probably on offense, you know, that and defensive back are probably the two hardest on the field. And as consistently, and you know, I'm not jinxing him, but he's right. You know, he's been on the field.
No.
You know,
dude, it's
amazing.
He's missed one game.
Yeah, right. It's incredible.
Hey, I got to ask you. I got to ask you one silly question. As a Falcons Pro Bowler guard, Chris Lindstrom is with us. So you've obviously earned the loot. You seem like a guy who would probably drive a pickup truck.
Uh-oh. You
don't really strike me as a guy who would go out and drop a coin on a Bugatti.
No,
but
no.
And you are getting married, too, by the way.
Yep.
So, I mean, is there anything fun and extravagant by your standards you went and got to do once you got the new contract?
So, kept my truck. I got my truck when I got drafted, so you nailed it. So I got that.
Ram? What are we driving?
I got an F-150.
Oh,
I know.
They're everywhere.
Yep. Now you can go 250.
Yeah, right. Get some of the guys got the Super Duties with the lifts and all the off-roading kits on it.
Crazy.
But no, got that. Got a got myself a tractor for in the off season. I live up in Massachusetts, so I got a long driveway. Got a bucket on it, gonna plow the driveway. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was kind of nice.
That's man's work right there.
Yep. Yeah.
And so, of course, this is the wedding crawl. Your cousin from Boston.
Yeah, right.
You're worried about somebody in the groom? Done the bachelor party yet, or is that already?
Yep, we did that. Yeah.
All right. It'll be a Boston-type wedding there, Kyle. Yeah. I've been to a few of those. Someone's going to get the lampshade.
Yeah. Chris is like, what happened stays where it happened, okay? You guys, I'm on the radio, damn it. I'm not talking about any of this. Chris is like, my lovely soon-to-be wife is listening.
Chris is like, no. We went up to New Hampshire with Antique, and it was very low-key. No Vegas or anything.
You know what is funny is in taking Caleb to cities is a hilarious adventure. We Caleb's in my wedding party, and he came, and we went to a Red Sox game, and it's fun. But he's, you know, obviously from the middle of nowhere, Washington, and one of my favorite memories by far is we went when we played in London last year, or 2 years ago, going on the public transit and going on the train.
He was freaking out
seeing Caleb on a train in London down underneath, but then seeing the people see Caleb on the train in London was even better.
They're looking at him like he's an alien, right? Oh, what is this guy doing on the train?
Cowboy boots with like the 2-inch lifts in them, so he's a full 7 feet.
the hair, the whole thing, like a wrestler or something.
Well, you know what, though? We embrace it, man. Last thing, we're going to let you go. Appreciate you joining us here on Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're down here, OTA practices, guys. Falcons, how good is this offensive line going to be? How much better are we going to be this season?
I never make things, but as an offensive line, just the communication that we have, the consistency that we have day in and day out, and the work ethic we have, that's going to speak for itself. And so we have so many reps together and super fortunate that we've been able to really have continuity as a group. And that's something, you know, I definitely don't take for granted. And then to continue and learn, and the culture that we have is going to, you know, keep developing, and the culture as an offense to keep pushing and be physical. That's really our identity. And so I just, you know, the product on the field will take care of itself, but we're going to just keep working.
Not to mention three dynamic, unique styles of running back behind you.
Yeah, exactly. And to see those guys only makes you play harder. When you see Tyler, you know, CP Hunt, you see those guys, the way they finish, the way they strain, the way they, you know, break runs and are protecting the ball and still straining, you know, that makes you want to work even harder.
Chris Lindstrom, thank you, brother. Congratulations on everything.
Thank you, guys. Congrats
on the
upcoming. Appreciate it.
John Chuckery, we'll be back. Sports Radio 99, The Game, and the Odyssey.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back at a Chuckery Show, hanging out in the Kia Studios with you here on this Friday evening. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line. Odyssey apps, how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 92.9 The Game on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at JMCH316 at the D Lewis for Real. Don't forget, we got Rankum coming up here at 10:40 here this evening. So a couple hours from right now. So 2 whole hours? Whew. Man, seems like
first hour, or these almost now 2 hours kind of went by fast.
Yeah, the second 2 hours of the show go by really fast.
Yeah.
Like the 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock hour, that goes by really quick.
Yeah, especially once the Braves come on.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we get into some shenanigans and things like that. I mean, you know, not to steal Mike Bell's gimmick, but I mean, you know, we get into... You know, we get into some different things and stuff like that. So, I mean, we have some fun with all that that kind of stuff. So, I'm planning on heading to Chattanooga the weekend of the 17th of June.
Father's Day weekend.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm looking at heading up to Chattanooga. I think I'm going to take my daughter and one of her school friends, and we'll go up and stay in downtown Chattanooga. But we'll go up on Saturday because I work on Saturday morning.
Right.
We'll go up on Saturday and we'll go to. You ever been to Lake Winnipesaukee?
No, I have not.
So Lake Winnie's an older amusement park, but it's pretty cool.
Okay.
Now they have a water park there too.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So it's pretty cool. They got a lazy river and they got some cool things. So okay. the water park's pretty cool. I mean, for what it is. I mean,
right.
it's not Six Flags or something like
right,
that. But
right.
you know, it's like $50. You know,
yeah.
maybe like $45, $50, whatever per person. But it's got roller coasters and stuff like that. They got some cool rides. Water park is pretty cool, so I mean you can do everything.
Okay.
There, but yeah, I think Father's Day weekend we're gonna head head up there for all of that. So,
nice.
And come back on Father's Day, so because you know we got to work around here, you know. So I will be out the everybody's taking their vacations. I will be out the week of July 4th. So
okay,
my annual. Well, we won't go to Florida this year, but it will be our annual just kind of week off.
Father daughter. Trip.
I don't even know what we're going to do because we're not going to go to Florida.
Okay.
Because I don't think my folks will be down in Florida. They won't get back down there till November. So
okay.
we'll probably go like Thanksgiving week or something like
okay.
down to Florida.
Nice.
But anyway, so yeah, it should be fun. Father's Day weekend up in Chattavegas, as Freaky calls it.
Yeah, we've gone up there a few times with the boys, but you know, with them being younger, we do more of the. You know, like the what is it, the Rock City and
well,
you
listen.
Know,
if you
that.
If you go to downtown Chattanooga, you got the aquarium.
Yep, we've done the aquarium a couple times.
You've got the art district over there.
Yep,
you've got the paddle boat rides.
Yep.
I love the riverboat ride. Like I'm a big. In all honesty, like one of the things I want to do in life is I want to go on a paddle boat. Ride up the Mississippi, up and down the Mississippi River, like where you stay overnight. So like
right.
you know you do, and the one I really want to do is the Civil War tour.
Okay,
where you start in New Orleans, and I think you end up in Memphis. I think is where you end up in, but you get off and see some of the battlefield areas along the way.
Yeah, we actually in New Orleans we actually did one of the riverboat tours.
Oh, nice!
And it stops at. Was it the, yeah, I think it was it a cemetery or battlefield? It was a, one, I think it was a battlefield that's in that area.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes up the river and then
right.
it stops at one of the battlefields in that area. Unfortunately, the day we did it, a storm like hit as soon as we got to the area. So people tried to tough it out, but everybody ended up running back to the boat and they took us on back.
Yeah, that I love those. I love like a paddle boat, and I want to go up to Mississippi and spend a few nights up there. They have those like Civil War, you know, tours and stuff
right.
like that you can do the battlefields and all that kind of stuff. And then I think it's like 3 days or nights and stuff like that. So
nice.
I think you start in New Orleans, and then they drop you off in Memphis. So you got to make accommodations from there.
Okay,
and then they
take you back.
No, they don't take you back.
Oh, you have to get back.
Yes.
If you start, you got to get back to New Orleans.
You start, or wherever you, I mean, again, if I'm not necessarily going to drive to New Orleans.
Right.
So I would fly to New Orleans and then from Memphis
right.
back or wherever it drops
however
you
want to do
yes,
it. Got
yes,
you. So just
yeah.
plot it out. Now you got to plan
yeah,
it out.
I'm not
going
to hitchhike. I'm not going to thumb my way from, you know, from Memphis over to there. So, but anyway, we'll see what happens. All right. Speaking of seeing what happens, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You know, I'm always amazed at how the media can ask the dumb questions of high-level ranking people, okay? So, yesterday, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver was asked about, as the NBA Finals are kicking off and all this kind of stuff, he was asked about the possibility of doing a, ready, salary cap for coaches. Because it looks like the Detroit Pistons are going to sign Monty Williams to a 10-year, do you see that deal? 10-year, $78.5 million, right? Why wouldn't you? I mean, again, I think he's one of the best coaches in the NBA, if not the best. You know, I mean, one of the best coaches all the way around. But Silver dismissed the idea. Quote, I pay attention to it, but it's a marketplace. We are able to negotiate collectively with the players' union because they choose to negotiate as a union. The coaches don't. Haven't made that election. They could form a union and come negotiate their agreements collectively, but in the marketplace for coaches, we compete, and our teams compete individually, and it's where the marketplace takes us. Can I tell you, that would be the stupidest thing that the NBA coaches could ever do, would be to unionize and negotiate with the NBA. I mean, why would I, as an employee of any organization, limit myself on what I could make or cap myself out? You know, again, you have all levels of players in the NBA. You have the Giannises and the Embiids and people like that, all the way down to the very bottom of the bench, the Frank Kaminskis and the Juwan Howards at 40 years old. It's a lot more. But why would coaches do something like that? And again, Adam Silver was a lot more gracious in his answer than I would have been. Because whoever would have asked that question, I would have told them they were dumb. I would have told them I said, you know, in all honesty, that's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard of in my entire life. Why would any coach limit their ability to make money? Why? Like, why would you cap yourself out at? Again, if Monty Williams could negotiate himself a 10-year, $78.5 million deal, why would he not do that? If the Detroit Pistons are willing to pay that to an employee, why would they not do that? Again, it's a stupid idea. I always see these, well, coaches, you know, make a lot more money and all this kind of. It's, yeah, because it's the marketplace. It's the marketplace. And that's why guys get super maxes, and there's only a select few of those people that qualify for different things like that. But you have to have some structure. Look, whether you like this or not, the company that you work for has a payroll structure. Now, it doesn't mean that they will necessarily cap what you can make. I mean, most places don't cap what you can make, but if you produce, you can make a lot of money, whatever business you're in. If you're a salesman, you know, and you sell a whole lot, you make a lot of money, but you also provide revenue to the company. And that's how the, you know, sports is. You provide a service, okay? We get lots of ticket sales and people coming in. Cool, you're a really great player. Cool, you qualify for a $290 million guaranteed supermax deal. And by the way, it's hard to fire the players, isn't it? It's hard. If you're a supermax player, it's really hard to trade those kinds of guys, isn't it? Okay, you can fire the coach pretty easily. Coaches get hired to get fired, right? Players don't necessarily get hired to get fired from their team. You have lots of financial commitments to it. So, again, I'm a lot less gracious than what Adam Silver is, but I would have told that guy that's the stupidest thing that I've ever heard, is why don't coaches have salary caps to it? Again, free marketplace, right? And when you're dealing with all levels of, you know, there's only 32 of those jobs available. And if you're a good coach and you're in demand, I mean, you know why Monty Williams is getting 10 years and $78.5 million? Because he's been the NBA Coach of the Year two of the last 3 years. And if the Phoenix Suns don't look at him as a valuable commodity, the Pistons look at him as a valuable commodity. Pistons look at him as a guy who can turn their franchise around, even if the Phoenix Suns don't. Even though the Phoenix Suns were in the NBA Finals a couple years ago, and they were what? The NBA second round this year, right? Because they lost the Lakers in that second round playoff, right?
Yep.
Yeah. even with Durant and all those guys that they had, you know, Booker and everybody like
that. Well, that was the problem. They gave away everybody. They had no bench.
Yeah,
they
right.
had no depth.
Right. They gave away all of their sort of like role player pieces that were the glue guys, right? You still had Durant and Booker and Chris Paul.
Well, and then Paul got hurt.
Right.
So.
But you didn't have the glue guys, the Mikal Bridges and guys like that.
Yep.
You didn't have those kinds of guys. So anyway, it's just dumb. I mean, when you read stuff like that, you just like ask, why would you ask that question? Like, why would you be that dumb?
Clicks,
and
bro.
Understand it? I guess.
I guess.
Are we that desperate that, you know, these reporters have to do those kinds of things? So, I would have probably shot him the middle finger and said, look, you're a jackass. That's probably what I'd have said to him. But anyway, I'm a little less gracious, right? I'm a little bit less people friendly in those types of environments. And that's what's bugging Chuckery. All right, coming up top of the hour, going to open up the phone lines, 404-726-0929. I've talked a lot about Arnold Ebiketie, and I think he needs a breakthrough. How confident are you that Arnold Ebiketie can be that breakthrough pass rusher that we need? 404-726-0929. Thoughts about Arnold Ebiketie and the Falcons? Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.